Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Test. Today's shiur is sponsored by Daniel and Etty Hirschberg in honor of Tamar's Bat Mitzvah. We wish the Hirschberg family a Mazel Tov, and we thank them very much for the sponsorship. We left off on the bottom of Daf Chesam Beis. Today's daf is one of the most famous dafim in Shas, I would imagine, or at least contains one of the most famous Gemaras in all of Shas, which discusses why the Batei Mikdash were destroyed, why the first Beis of Mikdash was destroyed, why the second Beis of Mikdash was destroyed, which Averos we had done that warranted the destruction of the Batei Mikdash. First, the Gemara is going to talk about the Kohanim Gedolim and the difference between Kohanim Gedolim during the Tkufa Bayis Rishon and the Kohanim Gedolim during the Tkufa Bayis Sheni. It's then going to discuss why the Mishkan was destroyed, which is something that for whatever reason is much less well known than why the Batei Mikdash were destroyed. And then on Amud Beis, it's going to discuss the destruction of the first Beis of Mikdash because of the big three Averos, and then the destruction of the second Beis of Mikdash because of Sinas Chinam. And then the Gemara is going to get into a discussion of which people were better, the people in the times of the first Beis of Mikdash or the people from the times of the second Beis HaMikdash. We left off three lines from the bottom of the page on Daf Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara was commenting on the name of the room that the Kohen Gadol was quarantined to for 1 week before Yom HaKippurim, the Lishchas Parhedrin. The Gemara says, you know, it wasn't originally called Lishchas Parhedrin, it was originally called Lishchas Balvati. Why did it change to Lishchas Parhedrin? Because Parhedrin were officers of the king who were in charge of setting market prices for various items. So the Parhedrin was a position that was changed constantly. Every year there was a new Parhedrin, and during the Tkuf of Bayis Sheni, the Lishchas Parhedrin went through renovations each and every year, because each new Kohen Gadol who purchased his position of Kuna Gadola during the Tkuf of Bayis Sheni would take apart the whole previous Lishchas Parhedrin and put it back together, decorated himself the way he liked to have it. So that's why it was called the Lishchas Parhedrin. So the Gemara and along the lines of describing what these Parhedrin were, who these people that were the Parhedrin, what the word normally refers to, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah three lines from the bottom. Tanan Hasam, it says in the Mishnah, in Meseches Demai, Hanachtomin lo chivu asan chacham lahafrish el etrumas meiser uchala. When it comes to a professional baker, the chacham were only mechayev, a professional baker, to be mafrish trumas meiser and chala from their doughs. Nothing else. Not truma gadola, not meiser rishon, not meiser sheni, just trumas meiser, which is the portion of the meiser rishon that the Levi gives to the Kohen. That's trumas meiser, and chala, which is only on dough, is not on anything else. Once Mishas Lisha, one is chayiv to be mafresh chala and give that to a kohen. So says Mar Bishlam, a trugma gedola lo. I understand very well why there's no chayiv to be mafresh truma gedola. De Tanya, because we have a brisa lefisha shalach b'chol gvula Yisrael v'ra'a she'in mafresh nela truma gedola v'lvad. Because they did some research and they found that all the amei ha'aretz were being mafresh truma gedola anyway. Meaning the whole concept of demai is that when you purchase produce from an amei ha'aretz, you have to be choshesh that the amei ha'aretz may not have been ma'aser. He may not have taken Trumas and Maestros like he is supposed to. Now the Mishnah tells us, Rov Amei Haaretz Ma'asrin Hein. The majority of Amei Haaretz did take Trumas and Maestros Karo'i, and therefore on a Daraisa level, there's no concern whatsoever. Mi Daraisa, one is allowed to rely on the fact that on the Rov Amei Haaretz who take Trumas and Maestros, but because there's a significant enough minority of Amei Haaretz that we're not careful about Trumas and Maestros, the Chachamim instituted this thing called the Mai, that when you purchase produce from an Amaretz, you have to take off your own Trumas Maestros, but not Truma Gedola. You don't have to take off Truma Gedola because all the Amei Haaretz were careful about Truma Gedola. There wasn't even a significant minority that were not careful about Truma Gedola. Question, of course, is why? Why would they be more careful about Truma Gedola? You would think you either buy into the system or you don't buy into the system. The system involves Trumos and Maestros and Maeser Sheni. It involves a whole set of halachos. Why would they only be Mafrish Truma Gedola and not be Mafrish anything else? Not be mafresh anything else from their produce. So the Rash, the Rash Mishans, is one of the major commentaries on Mishnayos. So the Rash in Maseches Demai and in Maseches Chala writes that Truma, if a non-Kohen eats Truma, is Chayv Misa. So they were Choshesh for the Tevel of Truma, but by other things there's no Chayv Misa, so they weren't Choshesh, meaning it's more severe. What about Trumas Meiser? Trumas Meiser is also B'Misa, and Ami Aretz are Choshud in Trumas Meiser, because they held that it doesn't become tevel for Trumas Meiser until you first make it Meiser Rishon. Because how does Trumas Meiser happen? First you give the Meiser Rishon to the Levi, then the Levi has to give a portion of that to the Kohen. So they held it doesn't become tevel until you give it to the Levi, and they were never mafresh Meiser Rishon, so they didn't have the problem of tevel when it came to Meiser Rishon. The Mefarish in Nedarim says a little differently. He says Trumas Meiser, the Misa by Trumas Meiser is not mafresh in the pasuk, because only learned that from a drasha, and the Amei Aretz were Amei Aretz for a reason. They didn't know drashas. They knew what it said. They didn't know psukim, but they didn't know drashas. They didn't know that the Yechayev Misa for Trumas Meiser. That's the approach of the Rash Mishans. The Rush writes differently. The Rush in Maseches Tamai and in Maseches Chala so writes that they were makbid on Truma Gedola because chit, by Truma Gedola it's very easy to be makbid. It doesn't take that much. Chita Achas Poteres is Kalakri. The halacha is that when it comes to Meiseros, there's a set amount that one has to be mafresh for Meiseros. You have to give 10%. That's the definition of Meiser. But when it comes to Truma, when it comes to Truma Gedola, you only need Chita Achas. You only need one stalk of wheat for your whole silo. That could cover everything. Midar Raisa. Now, the Mishnah tells us that an average person would give better, would give more than that, would give 2% of his produce for Truma Gedola. A very generous person would give 1/40th, a more stingy person would give 1/60th, but Midar Raisa, you don't even need to give 1/60th. Chita Achas. So it was very easy for the Amei Aretz to be makbid. What does it cost them already? One stalk of wheat. But anyway, when it came to Maestros, so now you're talking about taking a big chunk out of their income. That they weren't so excited about doing. And that would explain Trumas Meiser also, because Trumas Meiser is also a 10% portion of what goes to the Levi. So that's also, it's a set portion. It's not just a Chita Achas. So anyway, that's why the Amei Aretz were very careful about Truma Gedola. So we're not going to make a Nachtom who purchases wheat from an Amei Aretz, we're not going to make him take off Truma Gedola. What about Meiser Rishon, Meiser Ani? So says the Gemara, Meiser Rishon, Meiser Ani, Nami Lo, Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. The baker, the professional baker who buys mass quantities, we're not going to make him take off Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani either, because Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya, this is a din in Dine Mamanis, that you owe it to the Levi, you owe it to the Ani. But they can't prove that the Ama Aretz you bought it from was not already Mafresh Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani. So you could tell them, you want to take the Meiser Rishon from me, you want to take the Meiser Ani from me, prove to me that the Amei Aretz that I purchased from didn't already take Meiser Rishon, Meiser Ani. Purely in a Din Mamonis level, they would have to prove it. Now the halacha is that Meiser Rishon is very much unlike Truma. The halacha by Truma is that a Zar is not allowed to eat Truma. A non-Kohen is, however, allowed to eat Meiser Rishon. It's just a Din Mamonis issue that it belongs to the Levi. If the Levi decides to be generous and share it with all of his friends who are Yisraelim, they're more than welcome to be invited to eat the Meiser Rishon. They're perfectly allowed to do that. So it's purely a Din Mamonis issue. I could say I'm keeping my Meiser Rishon unless you could prove to me, Levi, that I owe you the Meiser Rishon, then I'm allowed to eat it, because there's no Isser B'davar. It's purely Din Mamonis. By Truma, it's different. Even if a Kohen can't prove that I'm Chayiv in Truma, I'm still not allowed to eat the Truma, because it's there's an Isser D'Oraisa for a Zar to eat Truma. So we understand why the Nachtom doesn't have to be mafresh all of these things. Hamotzi mechaver alav haraya is for Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani. So Rashi again says that it all emphasizes the emphasis over here is about dinei mamnis, that you could tell and bring a raya that the guy I bought it from wasn't already mafresh. Tosos, however, raises the question: why would you be chayiv to give trumas meiser to the kohen? Granted, you're not allowed to eat it because Trumas Meiser is also to a Zar, but in terms of the Dine Mamonis, it's not Shaykh to Shevet Kohanim. You could tell them that Motzi Mechaver Olav Raya, meaning what I should be allowed to do is I should be allowed to sell the Trumas Meiser to a Kohen. I shouldn't have to give it to a Kohen. In terms of Dine Mamonis, I have the same Taina of a Motzi Mechaver Olav Raya. I just have the Yisr B'davar, says Tosos. So Tosos writes that since it's a Davar Muat, it's only 1/100th of everything, because you give 10% for Meiser Rishon and then 10% of that goes for Trumas Meiser, so it's a Davar Muat, so we're not so careful about it. We tell them, and plus you sell it, you can only sell it for cheap, because the market is very small. You can only sell it to Kohanim, can't sell it to anyone who's not a Kohen, so therefore the Chamor Mesake, they just give it to a Kohen. Why start bothering with the Dine Mamonis? The Chamor Mesake, they have to give it to a Kohen. The Gvuras Ari, the Shagas Aryeh, in the Sefer Gvuras Ari, raises the Kasha. He says, since Misafek, there's a it is Maisa Rishon, and it's a moment of Shevet Levi, Misafek, and it's only in Dina Mamonis, you don't have to give it to them Misafek, because of a Motsi Mechaver Alav Haraya, but technically, you do have to be Kori Shem Maisa Rishon, so how can you be Mafresh Trumas Maisa from it, if it belongs to the Levi? It's not chal trumas ma'aser on it because you're being torim shalom midas ha'baylim. Meaning, if the real baylim is the Levi, so then how can you, the Yisrael, be mafresh trumas ma'aser on it? You're taking a truma without the das of the baylim. The baylim is the Levi. You don't have to give it to the Levi because it must be a chaver alav right, but the whole thing's a suffik. So what does it mean to be machmir? You're going to be making me suffik about giving it to the Levi, but be machmir me suffik about trumas ma'aser. But it's a stira minei ubei because it's torim shalom midas ha'baylim. So he says, no, you have to view it as two separate stages. When it comes to Maaser Rishon, do I have to give it? Do I not have to give it? No, I don't have to give it? Good. Then the Levi is not the Bailim. Then I'm still the Bailim of it. I'll be Kori Shei Maaser Rishon, but I'll still be the Bailim of it. It's funny because it's Maaser Rishon, but I'll still be the Yisrael, will still be the Bailim of it. And therefore, it's not Toreim Shalom Midas HaBailim. It's still considered to be Toreim Midas HaBailim. So this is all leading up to the question. Why don't we make the Nachton be Mafresh Maaser Sheni? Shouldn't he have to? What do you do with Maaser Sheni? You don't have to give it to anybody. You take it yourself, you bring it to Yerushalayim, and you eat it there. So shouldn't we require the Bailam, the Nachtol Misafek, to be Mafresh Maaser Sheni? Says Gemara, Amar Ula Mitoch Parhedrin Alalu. Parhedrin, this is why we quote this whole story. Because these Parhedrin, Choftenosa, Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, Rom Lahen, Michru Bezul, Lachruchu Rabbanu. Because these Parhedrin, who were in charge of collecting the taxes on the setting the market prices on the bread, they would always pressure the bakers into selling it for very low prices, and it was Parhedrin, it was Kol Yud Beis Chodesh, every 12 months, it was a new Parhedrin, it was a rotating office, every 12 months, it was a new guy in charge. So since they would force the Nachtam to sell it for such cheap prices, the Chacham didn't think it was right to cut further into his profit margin, meaning to raise his expenses more by making him take his Maaser Sheni to Yerushalayim, which is going to cost him time, and it's going to cost him money, so we couldn't do that to the guy, especially considering the fact that Midoraisa, or specifically because Midoraisa, there's no need to do any of this, Rova Me'aret or Ma'aser. So for the Nachton, we take it easy on him. He's already pressured enough in his business. It's similar to Torah Chasal Mamonim Shel Yisrael, that the Torah cares, and the Chacham certainly care about the money of Klal Yisrael. So my Parhedrin, Pursi. What are Parhedrin? They are Pursi. They're whatever, Persian officers. Unclear exactly what they were trying to accomplish by making the market prices so low. Probably they got a percentage off the top of whatever was sold, so they wanted to increase the sales, and that way they would end up getting more. Or maybe they were paid on commission somehow based on how much bread was sold. Whatever it was, but somehow they stood to benefit from this, and that's why they would put enormous pressure on the bakers. Period. That's the end of the discussion of how the name Parhedrin came about for that room that the Kohen Gadol would stay in. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. May dichsiv, what does the pasuk refer to when it says, Yiras Hashem Tosef Yamim Ushnos Rishayim Tiktsorna? So what does that mean? Yiras Hashem Tosef Yamim Zem Mikdash Rishon. Yiras Hashem adds days, that's a reference to Mikdash Rishon. Shamar Arba Meils Ve'Esar Shanim V'Loshim Shubo El Yud Ches Kohanim Gedolim. Because the base of Mikdash stood for 410 years, and there were only 18 Kohanim Gedolim that served during that tkufa. Now, how many Kohanim Gedolim really served during the tkufa by Yis Rishon? So there are different kirsos over here. It says Yilchas, but then you look in the Gra, in the Agos HaGra, it says Shnei Masar, and then you look in Tosfos, L'Shem Shubael Yilchas Kohanim, so Riva Garas Shmona, that it was eight Kohanim. So we have 8, we have 12, we have 18, and then in the three lines in Tosfos, nearly the Kaim Gir Sasfarim, Vites Kohanim Gedolim, that there were 9 Kohanim Gedolim. So historically, which is it? So there are psukim in Navi that deal with this explicitly. In Divrei Yamim Aleph Perakeh, the psukim say as follows: it goes through Aaron's lineage, and it says it goes through all the Yotzei Chalatzav of Aaron HaKohen in the following order. It goes through Aaron, Elazar, Pinchas, Avishua, Buki, Uzi, Zerachia, Merayos, Amaria, Achituv, Tzadok, Achimautz, Azaria, Yochanan, another Azaria, and then about that second Azaria it says, and this is key, Hu asher kiyen bibayis asher bana Shlomo biYerushalayim. The second Azariah was the first Kohen Gadol. Good Jewish trivia. Who was the first Kohen Gadol in the first Beis HaMikdash? In the first the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built in Yerushalayim, it was someone named Azariah. Not the first Azariah, the second Azariah was the Kohen Gadol in that time. And then it goes through. After Azariah, so let's count. After Azariah was Amariah, Achituv, Tzaduk, Shalom, Chilkiah, Azariah, another Azariah, Sraya, Yahud Tzaduk. So that's a total of 9. And about Yotzadik says, Yotzadik halach b'igalos, Hashem es Yehud of Yerushalayim b'yad Nebuchadnezzar. Yotzadik was the one when Nebuchadnezzar sent the Jews into Galos. So that was it. That was 9 Kohanim Gadolim. So how do we have 18, and we have 8, and we have 12, all these different numbers? Where did these numbers come from? So the Riva and Rabbeinu Tamar Goris 8, and they say that we don't count the last guy because he was the Yotzadik, because he was there when they were sent into Galos. So his kahuna was never completed. So we only count those that are completed, that completed the tkufa of kuhuna. So that's why we get to 8. Tosus miyashiv the gears of 18 in 2 different ways. First, he says maybe really it was 9, like the psukim say, but we're not only counting the Kohanim Gadolim, we're counting the Sagan as well. So if you count the Sagan, so then it's 9 plus another 9, who are Sagan and Kohanim Gadolim, so that's how you get 18. The other way Tosus deals with it is that he says it starts from Pinchas until the end of Bayis Rishon, that Sraya and Yod Sadduk don't get counted because they were Golub Emtsi Yimeku and Aschem, but everyone else, we start with Pinchas, for whatever reason. We don't count Aaron and Elazar, but we start with Pinchas after him, and that's how you'll get the number 18. Others have the gear, so like the Grahas of 12, so then you have to say it starts from Tzadok and on. So that which the Navi says that Azariah, the second Azariah, was the first Kohen Gadol in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, the Gra says, no, it's not to be understood Kipshuto, it's referring to Azariah that was in a later generation in the days of Uzziyahu, but because he was Moser Nefesh, we call him the guy who was the Kohen Gadol in the days of Shlomo HaMelech, but that's not a historical statement, that's a statement of Chashivus, that he was such a Chashiva Kohen Gadol, that's why he gets associated with the Beis HaMikdash, but really it started from the days of Tzaduk. That Tzaduk was really the first Kohen Gadol that we count. Okay, so that's how we get the numbers. But each of these Kohanim Gadolim lasted a very long time. Let's say it was 9 Kohanim Gadolim, like the Pasha Peshat and the Psukim, over a span of 410 years. That's a pretty impressive career for each of the Kohanim Gadolim. One would imagine you don't get appointed to be Kohen Gadol when you're 21 years old. You know, it's probably something that one has to be pretty chashuv to get to that position in the first place. So that's what it means that yiras Hashem tosif yamim. What's ushnos rasham tiktzarna zem mikdasheni. That's a reference to the tchuf of mikdasheni. Shama dalin meos for esrim shana, that the Beis HaMikdash stood for 420 years. V'shimshubo yoser mishalosh meos kohanim, and more than 300 kohanim gedolim served in the course of those 420 years. And it, what's even worse than that is semehem mem shana shima shimon atzadik. If you take away a few Kohanim Gedolim during the Tekufa of Bayesheni, who served for a very long time, you have Shimon HaTzadik served for 40 years, Ushmonim Shashimish Yochanan Kohen Gadol, Yochanan Kohen Gadol for 80 years, so that's 120 years you could take out of the Cheshbon, Eser Shashimish Yishmol Ben Pavi, another 10 years for Yishmol Ben Pavi, Va'amila Yural Shashimish Rablazer Ben Charsim, and some say another 11 years for Rabbi Yishmol Ben Charsim, so you're left with about 378 years for 300, with 278 years for 300 Kohanim Gadolim. Mikan ve'elach tseva chashov kol echad ve'echad lahot zishnaso. So do the cheshbon, if you do the math, you realize that none of them even survived the year, that they didn't make it through a whole year. So that's the comment, that's the comment, the sad commentary about the state of Kohuna Gadola during the tkufa of Bayesheni. Says the Gemara, now we go into the discussion of Churban. Why did the Churban in the Mishkan happen? Why did the Churban of Bayis Rishon happen? Why did the Churban of Bayis Sheni happen? So first we start with his name is Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa. Where does he get the name Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa? There's a psikta that in the psikta Rabasi, Parsha Yudalid, quoted by the Biuri Adaf over here, he says that the reason it's called, he's called this name, Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa, it's a very unusual name, is that a tura means an ox. So how does he get a name? Rabbi Yochanan ben Tursa, his father was an ox. So it explains that he was called this because he was a ger. And when he was a guy, he had bought a cow from a Jew. And during the 6 weekdays, the cow was fantastic. It would do all the work that he would ever ask the cow to do. And then on Shabbos, he would take it out to plow in the field. and he would put the yoke on it, and that's it, and it would just lie down, it wouldn't do anything. And he would hit it, and he would beat it, and he would yell at it, and nothing would happen, the cow wouldn't move. So he saw that what was going on, he went back to the Jew to return the cow, and he said, it doesn't work on Saturdays, and I'm beating it, I'm doing whatever I can. The Jew understood what was going on, so he went to the cow, and he whispered in the cow's ear, "Ati yodas, k'shiyisa b'rishusi, hayisa chareshes yimeachol, b'shabas yisa ninuach." I understand, you got used to living the good life. When you were owned by me, you got to take a day off on Saturday because you were owned by a Jew. But you should know, achshav shegarmu avonosai va'at b'rishus goy. Now that unfortunately I had to start selling my stuff, and that's why I had to sell you, and now you're in the rishus of a guy, please, you have to work on Saturdays. So right away the cow got up and started to work. So the guy got very scared by this whole scene, and he didn't know what he said. If a para that doesn't know how to speak and doesn't have any das was able to be makir its borei, ani she yitzrani yotzri b'dmuso v'nasan b'das, ani holy chamakir its borei, I who was created in the image of God and I have das, I'm not going to be makir HaKadosh Baruch Hu miyad bavin eskayir v'lamad v'zachal l'torah. So he was zochet to Torah, and they call him Yochanan ben Tursa, because that's how he got this name. So it's a fascinating history of the name. But anyway, he asks, why was Shiloh destroyed? Why was Mishkan Shiloh destroyed? So he says for two reasons. Because they committed Gilei Arayus and they committed Bizayin Kachim. So Gilei Arayus, how do we know they committed Gilei Arayus? Because the pasuk says the Eli Zaken Ma'od. Eli became very old. V'shamas Kol Asher Yasan Banav L'Chol Yisrael. And he heard about all that his children were doing to the Jewish people. His children who were running the show in the Mishkan. They were doing all these terrible things. V'sashar Yishkuvun Es Hanoshim Atzovos Pesach Ol Moed. Women would come to the Pesach Ol Moed to bring their korbanos, and the pashut reading of the Pesukim sounds like the Bnei Eli would sleep with them. They committed adultery. V'afagav Dam Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Biyochanan. Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar Biyochanan tells us, no, Chas V'Shalom, they didn't commit adultery. Kolomer Bnei Eli Chatu Einu El HaToa. Anyone who says that the Bnei Eli sinned is making a big mistake. They didn't sin, but rather Mitoch Sheshov Es Kinein Mi'amal Alein HaKosav Ki'ilu Shachvim. But because they delayed in the bringing of the Karbanos that the Yoledes, that a woman was chayv to bring, so it's as if they had committed adultery. The Navi considers it as if they had committed adultery. But anyway, that's the Gilei Arayos element of it, is that they did something that's the equivalent of adultery. The Netzivim, Rami Sada says, wait a second. So we're asking why Shiloh was destroyed, why the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, and the answer was because there were two rotten apples in the whole cloud. We're doing pretty good if we only got two that are bad in all of Klal Yisrael. So that's not so bad. So he says, the Bnei Eli Vadai were not Chote, like the Gemara says. But why does the Navi refer to it in such crass terms that they committed adultery? Because that's what everybody was saying about them. And the rule is, whenever you say something bad about other people, whenever rumors start going around about other people, chances are the people that are spreading those rumors have that same mum. It's those people that get most excited to spread bad word about other people. So if all of Klal Yisrael is saying about the Bnei Eli that they were adulterers, so chances are all of Klal Yisrael, Rachman al-Islan, were adulterers, and therefore it was a sin of the entire generation. So two kashas get answered together. Why would the Navi refer to it in such crass terms, and why would the whole generation be punished for two people? Says Rami Sada, it's the same answer. It wasn't for two people. It was because it was described in such crass terms. It was a reflection of how people were speaking, and how people were speaking was a reflection of what people were like. The Ben Yoyada has an interesting insight. He says that maybe the Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed dafka for these things because the Mishkan Shiloh was in Chelko Shel Yosef. And what made Yosef unique? Well, two things. First of all, Shmira Migilei Arayus. Yosef was very careful about Gilei Arayus, the whole story of Eishes Potiphar, in spite of his overwhelming beauty and attractiveness to her, and the overwhelming Yetzer Hara, being away from his family and everything. He managed to stay away from it. And also in Yosef's Zuchus, the Kachim are eaten B'chol HaRoeh in Shiloh. As far as you could still see, as far as the eye could still see, Kachim are Nechal, because he was not Zan as Einav Mina Erva, the Gemara in Zvachim says, because he wouldn't, he was careful about Shmira Seinayim, so that's why his eye is a good eye. So that's why when it comes to Shiloh, Kachim are Nechal B'chol HaRoeh. So it was the Zuchus of those two things that were that we had the Mishkan Shiloh, so when we lost these two things, when there was Gilei Arayus, and when there was Bizayin Kachim, so we lose the Mishkan Shiloh. Ben Yoyada also wonders, because the Torah, meaning Ben Yoyada, if one forgets the Merom Esadis approach, Ben Yoyada raises the question, because it's Ki'ilu Shachvam, it's Ki'ilu the Bnei Eli sinned, so that's why Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed. They didn't actually sin, but it's Ki'ilu they sinned. So that doesn't seem fair, that because they did an Avera, that's Ki'ilu. It's Ki'ilu they did an Avera. So the Ben Yoyada explains that if the Rashi Ha'am are doing an Avera that's Ki'ilu a worse Avera, that's Ki'ilu Gilei Raos, then chances are the people, the Rashi Ha'am, have to hold themselves to a higher standard. A person who's on a higher level has to hold himself to a higher standard. And the Hamonam realizes that. And they say, oh, if the Rosh Yeshiva, if the Rabbi, if the Rosh Kabahag is Mekel on this, so they're not going to say, oh, I could also be Mekel on this. They'll say, I could be Mekel 10 levels below that. I could always do something. So if the Rosh Ha'am are doing something that's a ki'ilu, then the am, the hamonam, is going to do the actual avera itself. So that's the Ben Yoyada rights. Okay, so that's in terms of Gilei Raos. Bizayin Kachim, where do we find that they violated Bizayin Kachim Duchsiv? Because there's a lengthy passage in the Pasuk, Gam b'terem yaktiru nesa chelev, before they ever burned the chelev. Uba nara koin varmalish azovech t'na basa litzlos, the young Kohanim would come and say, give us the meat to roast, l'koin v'lo yikach mimcha basa mevushal ki imchai, v'erim elavish kato yaktiru nesa kayom hachelev, v'kach l'cha kasher tavan afshecha. And the guy bringing the carbon would say, just burn the chelev first. Do your job first. Burn the parts of the carbon that are supposed to be burnt. Then I'll give you whatever meat you want. V'amalo kiata titein v'imlo lakachli b'chazaka v'tichatas anorim gedolim odus pnei Hashem ki noz ha'anashim es minchas Hashem. And they said, no, you have to give it to us right now. And if you don't give it to us, we're going to take it from you right away. That they were so eager to take the meat before they were makdir anything. So the difficulty is, why is that called bizayon kachim? It's nevera. They did a nevera of eating basar kachim before it became mutar. So they quote B'Shem the Briska Rav that there's no Isser Ba'achila before the Akhtaras Emurin. It's just that you're not Mekayim a Mitzvah Sachila's Kachim, and that's the Bizayin, that they had an opportunity. They could eat this meat in one of two ways. They could eat it before the Akhtaras Emurin, and it's not a violation of an Avera. They didn't do any Isser per se, but they're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Achila's Kachim. Or they could wait till after the Akhtaras Emurin and then be Mekayim a Mitzvah of Achila's Kachim. By choosing to eat the Kachim in such a way that they're not going to be Mekayim a Mitzvah, that's the Bizayin to the Kachim. That's the ultimate. So now that we discuss why Shiloh was destroyed, so why was the first Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because there were three averos that were commonplace during the Tkufa of Bayis Rishon. Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, and Shfichas Damim. The big three averos, Avodah Zarah, Gilei Raos, and Shfichas Damim. Avodah Zarah Duchsiv, how do I know? Well, actually, before we even get into how we know each of these three, it's important to point out the Gemara in Nedarim seems to associate it with an entirely different Avera. The Gemara in the Darm Daf Pe'al Famaral says Mikdash Rishon was Charav because Shlo Birchu Batorah Tchila, because Klal Yisrael didn't say Bircha Satorah. It doesn't say anything about these three averos. So a lot of the Achronim point out that we see from here is that in Achinami there was these three Gimel averos, but Torah could have protected them. Meaning, had they been Machshiv Torah enough, in spite of the fact that they were violating these three averos, that's how great the Zuchus HaTorah is. That the Zuchus HaTorah either two ways Achronim go about it. Some say that even if they would have been doing these averos, the Zechus HaTorah would have still stopped Hashem from punishing them for these averos. Or you could say with a slightly different signon that if they had they been learning Torah, they wouldn't have been committing these averos. That it was their failure to be machshav Torah properly that led them down a path where they were doing these terrible averos. So how do we know they did these averos? Avodah Zarah d'chsev. We know it's Avodah Zarah because the pasuk says ki katzar amatim yishtara, that the couch was too short for stretching out on. My katzar hamatzah mishtara, what does that mean? Amar b'yonoson, katzar matzah, the base of Mikdash was short, zeh mehistara lev shnei reim kechad, to have two deities that are in charge at the same time. I mean, you can't have an Avodah Zarah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the same place at the same time. And they had Avodah Zarah there, so the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't going to be there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not going to be involved in resting a Shechina amongst Klal Yisrael if Avodah Zarah was taking up the space. And then we have another pasuk V'amaseicha tzara ki hiskanes, that the cover was too narrow to curl up in. So Amar Rabbi Shlomo Bar Nachmani ki mati Rabbi Yonasan lahaikra bachi. When Rabbi Yonasan got to this pasuk, he would cry. Amar mandich sibbe kones kaned me'ayam nasla mischa tzara. The person, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, it says kones kaned me'ayam is going to have his idol as a rival. So that's how profoundly sad that the all powerful Ribon Shalom has to deal with any rivals that we bring in, the rival god, so to speak, that we bring against the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Gilei Arayos Tuchsiv, how do I know that they committed Gilei Arayos? Because the pasuk says, Vayomer Hashem Yan ki gavu benos tzion vatilachnen tuyos garun umasakro seinayim holoch v'tavav tilachnen bergleyen teachasta. So the Gemara is going to darshan each phrase in this pasuk to tell us how they acted, how these benos tzion acted. Yan ki gavu benos tzion shoy mahalchus arucha b'tzad k'tzara. A very tall girl would always dafka hang out next to a very short girl because she wanted to be noticed, meaning they carefully chose their friends so that they could be noticed in a crowd. There was a look at me kind of attitude. And they went in the Tuyos Garon with their necks outstretched. They would walk in an unsneeze way. They would walk in a way with tall posture, again, as if to say, not in a modest way. They would put on a lot of makeup, as a way of attracting attention. When they would walk, it was more of a strut than a walk. They would put their heel in front of the toe. They would do like a catwalk instead of just walking normally as a way of, again, attracting attention. And so what does that mean? That they would take different nice smelling spices and put it in their shoes. And when they got next to the young men, they would stamp down with their shoes and would cause the smell to come out. And they caused the Bnei Yisrael, the men, to have this terrible Yetzer Hara like poison in a snake. But what emerges from this Gemara is, you know, sometimes you have people say, why is it a woman's problem if a man is looking at her? That's the man's problem. So the answer is, yes, it is the man's problem. There are halachas of Shmir Seinayim, but it's a woman's issue also to be tzanua, to not cause the man to look at her, to not act in such a way that the man will always be looking at her. So a woman is supposed to try to be tzanua, not to try to attract attention. Okay, shvichus damim. How do we know that they committed shvichus damim? D'chsev v'gam dam naki shafach menasha harbe ma'od ada shemilei yishlaim pelapo. That menasha had spilled so much blood that as if yishlaim was filled pelapo with blood. Avol mikta. So that's shvichus damim in the most explicit and clear way that he actually killed a whole bunch of people. So that's it. That's shvichus damim. Avol mikta sheni. But in the tchufa of the second base of Mikdash, she didn't have these problems. Shayoskin b'toro b'mitzvos gemilas chasadim mipnei macharav. Very interesting how the Gemara says that. Now I would have said, if I was phrasing the question, I would say avol mikta sheni shalohu ovdun avol dezara v'lo hayos gilei arayos v'lo shafchu damim. It doesn't say that. It goes in the positive that they were also b'toro mitzvos gemilas chasadim. Sounds like toro mitzvos gemilas chasadim is the opposite of avol dezara gilei arayos shvichas damim. That in some way this addresses those three that if they were doing these things, then they weren't doing avod zar gilei arayos shvichas damim. So Mikdash Sheni, where they were doing all the good things, it seems like they were such good people, they were so religious. So Mibnei Macharav, why was the second base of Mikdash destroyed? So Mibnei Shahaisabo Sinas Chinam. Second base of Mikdash was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. The Lamdacha, Shashkula Sinas Chinam, Keneged Shalosh Averos, avod zar gilei arayos shvichas damim. And we see from here that Sinas Chinam is as bad as all three Averos put together, avod zar gilei arayos and shvichas damim. Again, the Sivim, Rami Sada explains that in Bayesheni there was Ritzicha Shvichas Damim. It says in Sefer Yosef and it says in Josephus that there was a lot of murder rampant during the days of Bayesheni. But the Shvichas Damim, everyone assumed was just a mitzvah, because everyone that they killed, they said, yeah, that guy deserved it because he's a stuki, and that one's not Bikiris, and that one, anyone, as Rabbi Balzum likes to say, what's the definition of an Apikiris? Anyone who doesn't agree 100% with my Hashkafos. So that's become the definition of an Apikiris. So everyone's very happy to see the other person get killed, because, and that's sinas chinam. Meaning the point is that we weren't even gores all the bloodshed, because we didn't didn't think it was bloodshed. We thought it was a mitzvah. It's always a mitzvah when the downfall of the other person, because they're wrong and I'm right, and that's the issue of sinas chinam. And that's why when they would see someone doing avera, they would not be down the kavskos because that he was doing it machmas taiv or whatever. They always assumed it was apikorsis, that it was based on some hashkafic issue that the person is an apikorsis. Now the Gemara in Maseches Bamitzvah says a little differently. The Gemara, you always have to keep in mind all the different statements that Chazal have about why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, Daf Lamed and Beis, says, Lo charvu Yerushalayim ela al she'amidu dineyam al din Torah v'lo asu lefnim Yishuras Hadin. That the reason the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was because there was no lefnim Yishuras Hadin. So it doesn't sound at all like what we're saying over here, that it was an issue of Sinas Chinam. So Tosos over there, already in Bava Metzia, raises the question that it says over here Sinas Chinam. How could you say that it's about that they didn't do lefnim Yishuras Hadin? So Tosos says, that must be the combination of the two, that they didn't do the Pnei Yeshua then plus the Sinas Chinam, a combination of the two. Okay, possible. The Pnei Yeshua, not the Pnei Yeshua, the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, which is written by the grandfather of the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua copied the name of his Sefer from his grandfather. His grandfather wrote the Tshuvas Pnei Yeshua, explains that Tosfos is trying to explain that Sinas Chinam caused them not to do the Pnei Yeshua Sadin. That it was the Sinas Chinam that stopped them from going the Pnei Yeshua Sadin in their dealings with other people. If you like somebody else, you go out of your way for them. If you don't like them, you won't go out of your way for them. So they're actually connected. It's not just Zev Zeh Garmu, but they're actually connected to each other. The one of the Achronim I saw here in the Bureau of Daf quotes from Rav Yaakov Vermeis, quoted in the Chassam Sofer, says that Shiyava Rabbi Yochanan Ashlishi V'Yachriya Ben Shneim Imrosav HaKodmos. He says that there are two statements of Rabbi Yochanan to steer between them. We need a third statement of Rabbi Yochanan to be Miyashivit, because we find in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, is a wild shot, a very creative idea. He says, we find in the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa that the Rabbanan were there and were not Mocha B'David. They didn't say anything they didn't say anything about what was going on in that whole Maisa and Mesechus Gittin. So why were they not Mocha? So it must be based on the Gemara that someone who sees B'chaveru Davar Every Yechidi, you're not allowed to be Meir Alav, but there's a mitzvah L'Sanosa. If you see someone doing something wrong and you're the only one that saw it, so you can't be Meir, that's Lashon Hara, the Gemara says in Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel. But it's mitzvah l'sanoso. You're supposed to hate him for doing the terrible thing. So Tosfos says, nevertheless, you shouldn't show the sinna b'farhesya because kemayim panim el panim. And therefore, the rabbanim weren't mocha because they said that they definitely saw a davar erva b'yachidi, and therefore they hated him. But still, it's questionable because Tosfos writes that b'farhesya it's also l'sanoso. So you have to say that it was only that that's only l'fnim yishuras hadin, and the anshei Yerushalayim were amidu dineim al din Torah. So they were not Mekayim v'lefnim Yishuras Adin. So because of that, because they were Hamidu Dineim al Din Torah, that caused the Sinas Chinam, and that caused the whole story of Kamsa Bar Kamsa, and that's how everything was Niskalga al-Davar. Okay, a little bit creative. Okay, so says the Gemara. So you see from here that Sinas Chinam is as bad as the big three averos. Shkulas Sinas Chinam can have the shalosh averos of the zargi the rashiyus davin. Rishayim hayu al shetalu bitchonim b'karush baruch hu. They were rishayim during this tkufa, but they placed their bitachon in Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Asan the mikdash rishon. That refers to the mikdash rishon. Tchsiv rosha b'shochet yishpatu v'kona b'mechir yaru unviya b'kasav yiksamu v'al Hashem yishanu leimar halo Hashem b'kibenu lo sava aleinu ra'a. They would take money for everything. They took money for being Nevi'im and for being judges and for everything. They were constantly taking bribes. And they said, nothing's going to happen to us, Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Eibush Zalf, and Hashem will always help us. When Hashem's going to help you, you're going against Hashem in everything that you do. How can you say Hashem's going to help? L'ficha chevi alein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gimel gzeros, connected gimel averos shabi adam. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought three gzeros for the three averos that they did. Shenema lechem b'galachon tzion sada techaresh, v'yushalayim iyein tiyah, v'arabayis l'bamos yar, that tzion and Yerushalayim and Harabayis all became destroyed and desolate because of these three averos. Wait a second. Sinas Chinam was something that was exclusive to the tkuf of Bayis Sheni. You think in Bayis Rishon they didn't have Sinas Chinam? That they hit on your thigh because we'll see what the pasuk means. Vamar Ablazer Elu Bnei Adam Shochlim V'Sholsin Zem Zeh refers to people that would eat and drink together. V'Dokrin Zeh Zeh b'chavra shabal shonim, and they would talk nastily to each other, as if they were stabbing each other with the swords of their tongues. So they were very mean to each other in the tkuf of Bayis Rishon. Says Gemara, he ben Nesiyah Yisrael avay d'chsiv zok v'hilal ben adam ki hi haisa ba'ami v'tanya zok v'hilal ben adam yachla kol tamar lomar he b'chol Nesiyah Yisrael. At least that was limited to the leadership, that the leadership hated each other, but the amonam, they were good to each other. Generally, people didn't practice sinas chinam in the tkuf of Bayis Rishon. Was only the leadership, was only the Nesiyim. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Dami Tavayu, Rishonim sheneskala avonim neskala kitzam. Achronim shlo neskala avonim lo neskala kitzam. So Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar both say that the earlier generation, the tkuf of Bayis Rishon, because their avon was neskala, was exposed, so the end of their galus is exposed, is revealed. But the Bayis Sheni that was destroyed, because the sin is not exposed, so the end of the galus is not exposed either. Marsha explains that the B'nai Bayis Sheni, it says lo neskala avon, because they were chote b'sinas chinam, which is in the heart. That's something that's that no one sees. And they look like best friends, but they hate each other. So they're eating together, drinking together, but they hate each other. So that's worse than an avon shabagalui, because that just like a ganav is worse than a gazlan, because you're showing that you're being mashvek vod kono the kavod abrios. So that's how the Marsha explains over here. Rabbi Yonis Naipshitz in Yaros Tavash, in Chelik Aleph Yaros Tavash, is a beautiful drasha. He says that nisgala avonam means that because they had these avonos chamurim of avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shlichus damim, they knew that they had what to do tshuva for. It's going to be hard to justify when you're in galus and you had just committed avodah zarah, gilui arayos, shlichus damim. You pretty much get it. You understand why you're in galus after committing averos like that. But the tkufa, the second base of Midrash, it was sinas chinam. So that's much harder for people to recognize. People don't recognize sinas chinam because they're never convinced that it's chinam. They don't think they ever did anything wrong. They had a reason to hate that person. They always had that person's a terrible person, so they never do tshuva. It's like the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he goes through a whole parak of averos for which a person cannot do tshuva, and many of those averos are things not that you can't do tshuva for, just that you never would do tshuva for because you're never going to be goris in your own life that the thing is even an avera in the first place. So a person is never going to be motivated to do tshuva. So that's what it means. Lo neskala avonim, to themselves it was lo neskala. They didn't even know they're doing an avera even after the fact. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Tovet Tziporon Shel Rishonim Mekreisos Shel Achronim. The fingernail of the earlier generations is better than the widest part of the body, the belly of the later generations. Amar Le Rishon Kesh Adaraba Achronim Adifi Afal Gavdi Ikashib Malchios Kaaski B'Torah. No, the generation of the second base of Mikdash was better because even though there was Shibur Malchios, there was Osek in Torah. Amar Le Bira Tochiach Shel Chazul Rishonim Lo Chazul Achronim. So we'll just take a look at the base of Mikdash. Base of Mikdash came back for the first guys, it never came back for the second guys. So don't just see that the second guys are worse. Shalos Shablazer, Rishonim Gedolim Achronim Gedolim. So that's Shablazer the Shaila. Are the people from the first base of Mikdash better or from the second base of Mikdash? Amlem Tnui Nechem Bebira. Look at the base of Mikdash. It didn't come back for the second base of Mikdash since the Churban of the second base of Mikdash. Obviously, they were worse. Igadamri Amlem Edechem Bira. Others say that the testimony itself is the Bira. So it's unclear exactly what the difference is between these two Lashonos. Seems to be the same thing. Look at the base of Mikdash, and there's your answer. In Nemukei Agriv, in the back of the Gemara, explains the difference based on the Medrash, that Tenuei Nechem Bebira means, look at the difference between the way the Churban happened. In the Bayis Rishon, only the ceiling of the Beis HaMikdash was actually originally destroyed, as opposed to Bayis Sheni, where the whole thing with the walls up until the very infrastructure, the very foundation of it, was destroyed. So even in Bishar Shayuchotim, there was a difference between Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Edechem Bebira's Kipshuto, that look right now, that there's no Beis HaMikdash back, in terms of the amount of time. So one is so that might be the difference between the two, says Mukhei Griv. Whether the Eidos is the actual bias and the way it was destroyed, or the length of time that we don't have it back. Reish Lakish Avisachi Biyardena. Reish Lakish was swimming in the Yarden. Also, Rabbi Bar Bechana Yav LeYada. Rabbi Bar Bechana came to give him a hand to help him out. Ben Yada points out, because we know Reish Lakish was exceedingly fat, so he was very overweight. So he had a hard time getting out of the river himself. So he went to offer him a hand to help him out of the river. Armalei Alas Nina Luchu. He says, "By I take a shavua that you are hated. I'm not going to take a hand from you." What does that mean? That all the people from Babel are bad, because if everybody would have gone back to the during the tkufa of the second by of the second base of Migdash in the days of Ezra, then we would be like Kesef, Shein Rekev Shalipo, that rot would never take over us. Meaning Kesef always remains valuable. You just have to polish it up. But since we came up in slowly in drips and drabs, and a lot of people never bothered coming back in the days of Ezra, so that's why we're able to rot away, and that's why we don't have a base of Migdash. My Erez, what is Erez? Amrula Sasmegar. It's a burrowing worm. My Sasmegar. Amraviaba Baskal. It means that we only have Baskal now. Kedetanya Mishmesu Nevi'im Achronim Chagai Zechari Melachi Nistalka Ruach Chodesh Mishrael Vadainu Mishamshim BeBaskal. That when the Nevi'im Achronim died, Chagai Zechari Melachi, so Ruach Chodesh left Klal Yisrael, but we still had a Baskal. So Frek the Gemara in this whole story. Reishlakish Mimishtaiv. Bahadei Rabba Bar Bechana, would Reish Lakish talk to Rabba Bar Bechana? Umar, Rabba Loza Demar Adar Yisrael, Ava Vlov, Mishtai Reish Lakish Bahadei, Demandu Mishtai Reish Lakish Bahadei, Bishuki, Ava Lai Iska, Bilo Sahadi, Bahadei Rabba Bar Bechana, Mishtai, Reish Lakish wouldn't even talk to Rabba Loza, because Reish Lakish had a personal chumra that he wouldn't talk to anybody in the Shuk. And that's how they knew. For Reish Lakish, if you ever found Reish Lakish talking to somebody in the Shuk, that must be the most trustworthy man alive, because Reish Lakish would never talk to anybody out in the market. He used to be a ganav in his old life, so part of his kapara is that he wanted to stay away from any sort of business dealings from anybody in the Shuk. So he would talk to Rabbi Bar Bechana. So Rabbi Papa Shadi Gavra Binayu, O Reish Lakish Havu Ziri, O Rabbi Bar Bechana Avav Rabbi Lazar. You have to say that the story is off. Either it was Reish Lakish with somebody else, or it was Rabbi Bar Bechana with somebody else. Could have been Reish Lakish with Rabbi Bar Bechana. Okay.